the burden bearer. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the chief of sinners, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Gospel Light Minute X podcast, episode number 437, titled The Burden Bearer. Beloved, I am here to remind you of what the Holy Bible says very clearly, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and me. Somewhere a parable was read, the exact details of which have faded from our minds. At the time of reading it, a deep impression was made on our minds, and its main thought I have often recalled with delight and refreshment. It ran something like this. A man had a vision in which he saw a multitude of people bearing burdens, which it greatly afflicted him to behold. Strong men were bowed down under heavy loads. Fragile women were staggering under burdens. Even children were weighed down. All classes of people were represented, toiling and staggering under heavy loads, heavy burdens. The dreamer thought he saw the Lord, and to his utter amazement, he was busily employed in increasing the burdens. Still, the burdened ones toiled on, ready to drop, but not quite. Still, the Lord added to their burdens again and again, till at last the man's curiosity and surprise could be restrained no longer. He inquired of the Lord why he was adding to the burdens and distresses of those he saw. The reply was, "I am adding to their burdens until they cannot do without me any longer. And then I will carry both them and their burdens." I kept for nearly a year the flask-shaped cocoon of an emperor moth. It is very peculiar in its construction. A narrow opening is left in the neck of the flask, through which the imperfect insect forces its way, so that a forsaken cocoon is as entire as one tenanted. No rupture of the interlacing fibers having taken place. The great disproportion between the means of egress and the size of the prisoned insect makes one wonder how the exit is ever accomplished at all, and it never is, without great labor and difficulty. It is supposed that the pressure to which the moth's body is subjected in passing through the narrow opening is a provision of nature for forcing the juices into vessels of the wings, these being less developed at the period of emergence from the chrysalis that they are in other insects. I happened to witness the first efforts of my imprisoned moth to escape from its long confinement. Nearly a whole afternoon, from time to time, I watched it patiently striving and struggling to get out. It never seemed able to get beyond a certain point, and at last my patience was exhausted. Acting as though I was wiser and more compassionate than its maker, I resolved to give it a helping hand. With the points of my scissors, I snipped the confining threads to make the exit just a very little easier. And lo, immediately, and with perfect ease, out came my moth, dragging a shrunken body and little shriveled wings. In vain I watched to see that marvelous progress of expansion, in which the wings silently and swiftly developed before your eyes, and as I traced the exquisite spots and working of diverse colors which were all there in miniature, I longed to see these assume their due proportion and to see the creature appear in all its perfect beauty, as in truth it is one of the loveliest of its kind. But I looked in vain. My false tenderness had proved its ruin. It was never able to do anything. It was never able to do anything but crawl painfully through its brief life, which it should have spent flying the air on rainbow wings. The lesson I got that day has often stood me in good stead. It has helped me to understand what the Germans call the hardness of God's love. That's right, the hardness of God's love. In case you missed it, the hardness of God's love. I have thought of it often when watching with pitying eyes those who were struggling with sorrows, suffering, or distress, and it has seemed to me that I was more, dare I say, merciful than God, especially with those who had handicaps and so forth. And I would gladly have cut short the discipline and given deliverance myself. Short-sighted fool, how do I know that these pains and groans can be spared? I'm not God. The far-sighted, perfect love of God, the hardness of God's love, which seeks the perfection of its object, does not weakly shrink from present transient suffering. Our Father's love is too true to be weak. Because He loves His children, He chastens them that they may be partakers of His holiness. My God, that is so true. With this glorious end in view, He spares not for their crying. With this glorious end in view, He spares not for their crying and their pain. Made perfect through suffering, as Christ was, the sons of God are trained up to obedience and must be brought to glory. As the Holy Word of God says in the book of Acts, through much tribulation. Psalm 55:8 says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. The Holy Bible says in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All of the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. The Holy Bible states in Hebrews 12:11, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Dear friend, if you want to be saved from the wrath to come and from an eternity in hell, you must believe in the man Christ Jesus, who suffered, bled, and died fully on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, dear friend. To save your soul from the pangs of hell. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And please pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Mean it from your heart when you pray it. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before in my life, in your sight, as you know. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults. As I now believe in your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, I believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life, my old evil life, and follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend, thank you for listening to this gospel presentation. If you have decided to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior after listening to this podcast, please email us at gls@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. To find out more about what you need to do after trusting Christ as Savior, visit gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Beloved, the gospel pamphlet this podcast is based on is published by Moments with the Book, a nonprofit organization whose purpose is to spread God's word to the world through the printed page and other media. You can order copies of this gospel pamphlet online at mwtb.org. And when you do, pass them out. May God bless you until next time.